This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert in studio. And Bob, big day today, made official, Kellen Moore's first press conference with the Saints. And I will give him an A for one thing. Man, he got down this head coaching speech real good. He knows how to sidestep. You know, answers pretty good, then give it to you. We got some certainly tape of that. But for never being a head coach, he gets an A-plus for that today.
He's a pro.
Yeah. But
he's a leader of men. Nick Sirianni, I thought, said it best. He's a whole lot better than Nick Sirianni was in the initial press conference. Eagles fans say, what, that's our head coach? No, Kellen Moore is way mature beyond his years. I'm telling you what, I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is that he's a pro football coach at the highest level. He knows what the hell he's talking about. Now, head coach, you have to see what's going to happen and what's going to occur. But Super Bowl winning coach Nick Sirianni said this. He's been fantastic as our offensive coordinator. He said, you know, you go from an offensive coordinator to leading now an entire team. He said, but you still... in charge, when you think about it, he's still in charge of 30 guys, so half the team on the offensive side of the ball. So now you just got to get the other side. You got to get the defense head in the right direction, the right defensive coordinator. Look what Vic Fangio meant to Nick Sirianni about them becoming Super Bowl champs and Kellen Moore leading the offense. So he has led men before. So you know what? To be that offensive coordinator when you're in charge, Mike, because you're in charge of an offensive meeting room. So it's a good preview of the type of head coach that you're going to be. And it's not your first rodeo, that him being an offensive coordinator. Mike, he went from playing to being an offensive coordinator in his late 20s. That's unbelievable. He's a coach's son. I think a natural born football coach. It's in his blood. And all I know is you respect Lane Johnson. Right, Lane Johnson, all-pro, offensive tackle. I think he made all-pro a couple of seasons. Amongst the best tackles in the National Football League. And that's in the trenches, the big guys. He says, look, he's a great football mind, and I think he's a football genius, and his best days are ahead of him. Mike, when you trust Lane Johnson, you know, the coaches that he's witnessed and what he thinks about him.
Listen, Lane didn't just come into the league 2 years ago. He's been here
exactly.
for quite some time. Bob, I'm going to ask you the question. I asked this to Archie Manning yesterday because I do think more than any other position, the quarterback spot, that there is some intrate parts. Jake DeLome told me this, that, you know, when you decide that's the position I'm going to play, you also take into effect you going to be the leader of that team. You the guy they look into, and sometimes a lot more than the head coach.
Well,
and so I think that can translate from being a former quarterback at the highest level with Boise State, and then, you know, he was a backup in the NFL, but still he played, that leadership of being a quarterback can translate to being into the head coaching position.
Well, without a doubt, you got to be an extrovert. You're not playing tennis or golf or it's by myself. It's the ultimate team sport. So you got to be a leader of men, and you got to be an extrovert. People might not agree with this, but I think all NFL quarterbacks are narcissists. Now, at different levels, you got to have some narcissistic aspects of your life and what you do. Now, it might be better on a football team versus your family life, but you have to be able to keep that in check. But no, you got to be commanding. You have to want to be the leader of men. And to be a leader of an army or society or whatever you're at, you got to be an alpha. You can't be, I just want to get along. No, this is the way it is, and this is what the way we're doing it. And it doesn't matter the age. You could be until the day you die. And you're going to have how you handle adversity. Look at Winston Churchill. If he don't get involved in England, the damn Germans would have took over England. Because, maybe we should go along with what Hitler's doing and all that. And now you think I'm being extreme, but it's true. It's all leaders. No matter how old you are. Alexander the Great. He was 21 years old. He was leading armies and conquering the world. So there's a certain intangible that comes about that people, they tend to lean upon, and they look for you to be their leader. And I think that's where Kellen Moore's at. Look, I don't know if he's going to be a great head coach, but I know he knows football. I know he knows it at the highest level, and he's way more mature beyond his years. He might be 36, and he might as well be a 46-year-old or 56. I mean, the age does not matter. He knows what the hell he's doing. And I think he'll have success. Now, can the Who Dat Nation, can we be patient? Because I look all of a sudden what he done with the Eagles to win their world champs. Who on the Saints team right now would start off with that Eagles offense? Just looking at the offensive players. Now, different packages. Okay, I look at...
Only one.
Okay, but Mike, that's what I look at. Okay.
Only one on offense.
And then you look at, he came over from the Jets. What's his name?
Mekhi Becton.
Okay, Becton. He was considered a busted tackle. He worked out of guard, but now his contract's up. And he probably, I'm a world champ. I want to get paid. See, McCoy could be, now we look at him as our center, one of the best centers in the league. But look at the center they put in there, plug and play, who replaced Kelsey. I don't know. McCoy, you might have to play guard on this team. And he played at a high level.
Yeah, because they spent a second-round pick on Cam Jurgens coming out of Nebraska.
And hasn't he been awesome?
He has been good. And a couple years earlier, they had spent a second-round pick on Landon Dickerson, who was a center at Alabama, but he had played center guard.
Right.
And so he's the guard.
So I'm just looking at the weapons and what he's inheriting, but he's accepting the challenge. Okay, just look at the running back position. Alvin Kamara. And Coach Moore even said this. All the NFL teams are aware of what Alvin Kamara brings to the table. We're looking for an Alvin Kamara, like a pass-receiving running back who runs hard between the tackles and all that and who can bounce it out. But Alvin Kamara wouldn't be starting off for the Eagles. It'd be running back by committee. I'm just telling you, like Saquon, and you'd have Alvin Kamara. But we'll talk about a 1-2 punch. I'm just looking at their team and who he coached and the success they had. Okay,
one guy.
Okay, look at Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed. They'd be the third and fourth receiver, right?
A.J. Moore, like Devontae and all, they'd be the third, fourth receiver. So that's why, as Saints fans, we're going to have to be patient what's going to come about. Now, whether we're playing a 3-4 or 4-3 on defense. Now, if we're playing a 3-4, do we have a nose tackle? We don't have that damn nose tackle on the team right now.
But that's the one area you would have to get a nose guard. But it's so hybrid today. They talk about 3-4, 4-3.
Yeah,
I heard
yeah.
Vic Fangio talk about it. Okay, different plays. You are a 4-3.
You could be a 4-3-3-4, but you always have a base.
Right.
You might have a base.
That's where the nose guard.
The nose guard where they're doing all the dirty work. They're not necessarily in the stat line, but they're occupying two blockers every place so the linebackers can roam. All I know is you can, now God rest their soul, Sam Mills and Von Johnson. Boy, you know who didn't get enough credit with Don Bertrout? Jim Wilkes. 12th round draft pick out of San Diego State. You want to talk about occupied blockers and not get knocked off the ball. Right now, the Saints don't have that type of player. What about Brian Brzee? Bobby's a D lineman. What? No. He can't play. Now, maybe he can play on the edge
in
a 3-4, but nose guard.
That's a better position for him as a 3-4 defensive end than it is as a D tackle.
Okay, to play devil's advocate.
Because you can use your length that way better, and because he's so tall cut.
Right, and he can rush the passer. That's what you want. Look, Frank Warren and jumping all that was able to do that. But when you look at, it stands to reason, like let's say it's your base again. 4-3 means four down linemen, three linebackers. 3-4, three down linemen, four linebackers. Well, the Dome Patrol, we had four linebacking studs. the Saints, we hoping we have 1.5. To run a 3-4, do we have four linebackers right now? No. So we better hope our young cats work out. Whoever we draft, we better hit on the draft. And that's why I'm saying you're going to have patience. It might be to say we're going to go from 5 wins to 10 wins. Sean Payton did it. Well, Sean Payton had Drew Brees, and it's better to be lucky than good sometimes. We were 10-6, was the number 2 seed, made the NFC Championship. You want to talk about
the best coaching job Sean ever did year one.
We overachieved that year.
Because the next 2 years showed you
that was more realistic.
How good you really were. But think about the last 2 years, the drastic change, the Texans. They were flat on their back. C.J. Stroud.
Right.
And then this year, pass, okay? Dan Quinn comes in there, brings in a lot of veterans, but Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, no, it's a difference maker.
You don't have that type guy.
No, because Sean took him from after Katrina, 3 wins to 10 wins. And I'm saying I hope that would happen, but I just don't see that happen. 5 wins to 10 wins. I think with Derek Carr, I'm not saying we're going to win anything. All I know is with Derek Carr, that's the only games we won at 5. And I think with Derek Carr, the best case scenario, we're 8-9, 9-8. So where is that getting you? In the middle of the pack. Isn't it trying to win a championship, win the NFC South? You know what's crazy right now? Mike, from a national perspective, you want to talk about, this is old school, the Saints being disrespected. We like the Rodney Dangerfield team. Mike, they have, Tampa Bay is still the top dog right now. Look where they're at in the NFC South. You look at Atlanta, where they're at with their young quarterback. And look at the Panthers, how they finished the season. Then we finished fourth. Right now, from a national perspective, they think the Saints are the fourth in the NFC South. So, as far as winning a championship, first things first, we got to just try and win the NFC South and go from there. That's why, can we be patient, Who Dat Nation? I don't know.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to James. James, you're in the huddle with Mike and Bob.
Hey, thanks, guys. So I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be a journey, right? I think the biggest thing that he's going to realize is that, and it's sad to say that the Eagles won the championship in part because of Howie. He might have to.
You talk about Howie the GM. You have to tell right. the listeners.
A big part.
No, big part. Howie Roseman's right. in the Pro Football Hall of Fame of GMs.
Right. So he'll realize soon, and I hope this won't be the case moving forward, but it appears that he may have to win despite Mickey. Mickey's got. We got to do a much better job in the draft. We can't afford any guys in free agency. I think the guy that I'm looking forward to coming from the Eagles would be Mekhi Becton, and I would love to see him play the guard position. Even though he was drafted at tackle, but one thing I know about Becton and our new head coach is that he worked really well with him back in Philly, and they can't sign everybody. Hopefully, we got enough money in the coffers to get to pick that kid up for the sole purpose of my not seeing Vita Vega beat the brakes off our running backs every time they try to run that ball up the middle. Yeah. So,
you better put a big guy on a big guy.
Yeah, yeah. With Vita Vate, no, he had not. He has not disappointed Mike. But he was drafted. He's lived up to those expectations. And James, okay, to play devil's advocate, you want to say Mickey and all that, the front office. But all I know is that all they could do is get him in the building. Look at the scouting department. They said, okay, Zach Bond, they drafted him. Okay, you look at Trey Hendrickson. So here we got a guy.
Caden Ellis.
Okay, and then but look at Zach Bond, 150-plus tackles. Like, Mike, who's getting ready to win Defensive Player of the Year? Trey Hendrickson led the NFL in sacks. And so we let him go. I mean, we don't. I mean, the coaching. Now, to me.
The valuation part was bad at defensive tackle. We're not as good there as when we had Onyemata and those guys up front.
But then do you think it was a money thing and I wanted to pay Onyemata and Shai Tuttle and all?
Because I think it was a money thing with Onyemata and too as he followed Ryan Nielsen to Atlanta.
Well, that makes sense. But, you know, a lot of times it's a combination and you got to pull. You know, you get in the tug of war. You always got to be pulling in the same direction. You know, what are the scouting department, the coaching staff, the whole organization. That's what the Eagles have done an outstanding job from top to bottom with that. All going the right direction. Could the Saints have had players come in the building? And throughout their history, they've had players who's been on the team. You don't know how many times fans will come up to me. Bobby, they used to be a Saint or they were a Saint. Now they're kicking ass with somebody else. They play with somebody else. So look, okay, now different personalities. How can you motivate them? I know you got to put up a like CeeDee Deuce, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. He goes Saints, Eagles, Lions, back to the Eagles. All I know, he's a Super Bowl champ. So you look at a number of players, and obviously you want it to be outstanding citizens on and off the field. But I just look at like Zach Bond. That to me, that's Dennis Allen and the coaching staff there. Where all of a sudden, he's just a special teams player for us. You don't go from a special teams player to being nominated or in that process of being the NFL Defensive Player of the Year and all pro, and he don't even play on. Now, I remember interviewing him at the media day at the Super Bowl. He said, it took me a little while, and I actually worked on my craft to get better in pass coverage. Get better in pass coverage. He had a damn interception in the Super Bowl. Zach Bond, so good for him. So when I look at all that, can we evaluate the players, and then when you evaluate them,
to
then
fit with this team is going to do,
and then make them better,
yeah,
and exactly. Then make them better because that's. But to me, when you say like flash in the pan and turn around in one season, okay, you could say magically Drew Brees brought that stability in 2006. Okay, look at later examples. And you can look at the past two seasons. Okay, who was the sexy team when you look at 2023? Going from the outhouse to the penthouse, Houston Texans. Why? C.J. Stroud, the trigger man. Now, there was other parts to that. I'm not saying that. But then you look at this year, the Washington Commanders. Jane Daniels. So right now, that's why I just don't see us rapidly, quickly turning that around.
We got C.J. Stroud or Jaden Daniels,
yes,
or Drew Brees.
Who's our quarterback? Now, Spencer Rattler might develop. I don't know. He didn't win a game. And we're hoping for all that. Derek Carr. Derek Carr is a legit starting NFL quarterback, and there's 32 teams. Do you know every year there's like 12 teams that don't have a quarterback in the National Football League that should be starting? Derek Carr's more in that 15 to 20. I'd say at best case scenario, when he's really clicking like he did those first two games, hovering around 12. But, Mike, he's not in the bottom 12.
He's in the middle of the pack.
Yes. Now, that doesn't mean you win anything. So I'm just saying, look at all of a sudden the stability Matthew Stafford has brought to the Rams. All of a sudden, the rumors are out there.
He might be headed out east,
right,
to the Giants.
So, because you know why? As good as the Rams have played, and they won a Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford, they look at, I think we've gone as far as we could go. It's all about winning championships.
And about money, because Matt wants to get paid also. Bob, the Saints have just announced that they have signed Clyde Edwards-Helaire to a one-year deal. Clyde got picked up late in the process.
Well, he's had emotional issues.
Clyde can play.
Yeah, at the beginning of his career, he lived up to expectation with the Chiefs.
It's sort of
And after that, he did not. Where he was drafted, Clyde, I'm not saying he's a bust.
But he was a bust for the Chiefs.
Yes, exactly, Mike.
Can he work out here?
If he was a fourth or fifth round pick, it don't matter. But where the Chiefs drafted him, he was a bust. Look, Pacheco, look where he was drafted.
He was a seventh round.
And he beat out Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So, no, he might work out the Saints. It's all about you got to fight. You got to bounce back, and he might work out with the Saints. Look at Kareem Hunt. All of a sudden, he's throwing the
ground stall over.
Yeah, and then he got in trouble off the field, and then he's back with Kansas City. Andy Reid said, "Let's put him in there." But I'm gonna tell you what: you look at coaching, and what you do. Boy, you want to talk about the Eagles coaching staff out coaching Spags and Andy Reid? That wasn't even close. You want to talk? The Eagles took the Chiefs coaching staff. We always talk about the players. The Eagles coaching staff took the Chiefs coaching staff to the woodshed. You know why? Andy Reid got too cute, as great as he is. How about you run the damn ball? How about you attempt to run the ball? What, they had three rushing attempts the first half? Come on.
It was checkmate. Game over.
No, and you know what Vic Fangio said? And this is from the Eagles defenders. They're going to force Pat Mahomes to play quarterback. Bobby, what do you mean by that? You know what? To go through the progressions, a rushing four, trying to throw through the forest, not blitzing one-on-one and all that. So now, who would ever have thought that they in those defensive meeting rooms before the Super Bowl and saying that Vic Fangio and I was getting all the defensive players, we're going to force Pat Mahomes to play quarterback and with some kind of discipline, not running all around like a chicken with his head cut off. And that's good that you could do all that. But can you make plays in the pocket and go through your progressions? Look how Pat Mahomes was panicking and then all looking to run somewhere. And it was the perfect defensive scheme of what Pat Mahomes was trying to do because they were doing that umbrella, which is cover four. You cover the quarters or going too deep. So you know what? In theory, shame – and Stink said this, and it's so true. Shame on the Chiefs not trying to run against that defense. When you're playing that umbrella four deep, you're playing quarters or two deep. The run support, no. You know what that's saying? Vic said, we can put those defensive backs in coverage because we're going to kick your ass on the line of scrimmage.
They had no fear of the running game.
Exactly.
But
you got at least attempt to run the ball to help out Mahomes.
So when we had on Archie Manning yesterday, his deal is I have a kind of phone date with Vic Fangio later in the week, and he says, I guarantee you, The game plan didn't say zero blitzes the entire game. But since it worked and they weren't running the ball and you were getting unbelievable pressure with just four guys, they kept it.
Well, and you might say, well, Bobby, you're down 24-0 and you're getting waxed, or 17-0, 24-0, then you just can't run the ball. No, the first half the game was not out of hand. What did the Chiefs have? I don't have my notes in front of me. What did the Chiefs have rushing the ball in the first half? Three rushing attempts? The whole game, the damn running backs ran seven times. I guarantee you, Kellen Moore won't do that. That's not a winning formula.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettillo along with Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert. We got a clip from Kellen Moore talking about offensively to put stress on a defense.
I think the biggest thing from an offensive perspective is you got to stress the defense, whether it be tempo, which we'll use a lot of. We like to use a lot of tempo every place that I've been. We'll use shifts and motions and we huddle, but we want to stress the defense. Now, whether we have to throw it 50 times or run it 15 times, I really don't care. However, we got to win a football game. We'll do that based off who we have available to us and who's on our roster. But we want to be a team that stresses the defense, challenges them, utilizes our entire roster, the depth that we have, and take advantage of all these different players' superpowers.
You know, one of the things he brought up, Bob, you and I have talked about this. I think a lot of times the Saints, they got away from the running game way too quick in some games. Okay, it wasn't working at first, but you got to continue to run it. Look, the Eagles, they didn't make a lot of hay running the ball against Kansas City, but you can't be one-dimensional. And that's what Kansas City became against the Eagles, one-dimensional.
Well, that's why, again, Fans don't have patience. That's why drive-through was invented. I mean, I want to eat now. I got to wait? No, to think about the drive-through.
Microwave.
Yeah, microwave. Yeah, that's one of the greatest inventions ever. I mean, I use a microwave every day. I mean, when you think about the convenience of that. And that's when people don't have patience. Because they look at always short term.
Coaches are like that too.
Well, it's human nature.
Yes.
They all like that. So can you have patience? So to me, you have to look at the big picture. This will help your quarterback even play better. Can you have the attempts in rushing the football to try and keep the defense honest? Now you might say, well, why are we doing that? Our offense is boring. No, the bottom line is, listen. It's a boring game, 17-13, unless you win. Now think about this. If you told me every game next year, now I don't know if that happened. You have to have a kick-ass defense. You know, Mike, let's say we were only, like, we were winning games 20-14, 17-13, but we 2-0. Look at the first two games, how we waxed the freaking Cowgirls in Carolina. We loved that. It was highly entertaining. Now, I'm not talking about just watching a football game, but if that's your team and you're winning, even though it's a 17-13, 20-14 type game, you're all excited because we won. The bottom line, are you winning or losing? And you have to do whatever it takes to get to that.
Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines. Go to Slick Rick on the North Shore. Slick Rick, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, boys, how y'all doing?
Good. Hey, what's up, Slick Rick? Slick Rick? Slick Rick, I like that name. What's up, man?
Yeah, you know, I agree with you, Bobby. It seems like all the players that leave the Saints end up at the Super Bowl, and now even the coordinators that leave the Saints end up there.
We're going to turn that around in the future, hopefully.
What Bobby and I were talking about, and I agree with him, Dennis Allen's going to have success as a coordinator in Chicago.
I'd be shocked. I'm telling you right now, go put money on this. Who's always a surprise team? Everyone was on Washington. To me, if I go NFC, watch the Bears next year and AFC the Patriots. Because I'm a Vrabel fan, and I like their quarterback. So I'm telling you, watch those two teams.
Right.
And I think Dennis Allen, look, he's a pro football coach at the highest level. Now, he did work out at head coach. But watch, Slick Rick, he's going to work out, I'm telling you, with the Bears. I truly believe this. Now, if you look at NFL coordinators who failed as a head coach, that's a fraternity there. And going back even old school, like Wade Phillips and all. Wade Phillips, one outstanding defensive coordinators. Mike, you look at all that. Okay, who's rumored to be the Saints defensive coordinator?
Brandon Staley.
I don't think he worked out as head coach with the Chargers. That doesn't mean he can't coach. You know who's his kind of mentor? Vic Fangio, when you look at that. Look at Steve Spagnuolo. Did you see his Rams record? It's worse than Dennis Allen, what he did as a head coach. And he's going to probably make the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a defensive coordinator. So that's why, listen, I know one thing. Kellen Moore knows what the hell he's doing. Now, will he work out as a head coach? We got to wait and see. Go ahead, Slick Rick.
Because players make you a lot smarter coach. That's the issue.
Yeah.
You don't have enough core players.
Go ahead, Slick Rick. Go ahead, Rick James.
Okay, we got a bad,
you're breaking
bad
them.
Connection.
He said only three guys. I wish you'd know like who's only three guys.
Well, I do know one thing. Don Shula was a former NFL player. He won more games than anybody in the history of the National Football League. Tom Landry, former player, won a lot of games at the NFL level. Mike Ditka won a lot of games with the Bears. Didn't win a lot with the Saints, but he won a lot with the Bears, and just sort of cherry-picking that particular deal. But today, because of the money that's involved in coaching today, you're going to see a lot more former players get involved. As Bobby always says, the real world sucks when you're not getting a check as a player.
Well, the one thing, though, I would say Kellen Moore is way more disciplined than a lot of former players. Just because you're a great player doesn't mean you'd be a great coach. You know why? Because they ain't putting in the hours, and to perfect their craft. Kellen Moore played six seasons in the National Football League. He was a backup. He said, I knew I really couldn't make it. But he was cerebral. He was like, he'd take notes. His dad was a coach. He said, okay, if I can't play at the highest level on the field, then I want to coach the position and put the players that can get it done. That's why I think when you look at, to me, Kellen Moore has an advantage over Sean Payton. Bobby, what are you talking about? Look what Sean Payton accomplished for the Saints. Look what he did with Denver in the second season. I'm going strictly by a player. Kellen Moore was a way better player than Sean Payton. Sean Payton never made it in the NFL. Sean Payton was a scab. He played in the strike season in 1987 with the Bears. They got video of like Mike Ditka chewing Sean Payton out. Sean Payton was outstanding at Eastern Illinois. But the quarterback that you know from Eastern Illinois is Tony Romo. And it's not Sean Payton. So when you look, you know who's the greatest winning college quarterback in the history of the NCAA?
Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore, 52-3. A what? 53. Kellen Moore is a winner. I'm telling you. Now, I don't know how that's going to go about it as far as the head coach. We got to wait and see. And when you put skins on the wall. But I know Kellen Moore knows what the hell he's talking about and knows football. And football's in his blood. If all of a sudden you need a transfusion or whatever type he is, type O, whatever, you better have some football in that blood that you train. Because that's his mindset, how he was raised.
We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Let's go back to our Oakland Hard Jewels talking text line. Let's go to Reed and Cutoff. Reed, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, Bobby and Mike. Bobby J, how you doing?
All right, Reed. How you doing, man? Good to hear you from a circumcised city. What you got?
Yeah, we grew up across the bayou from you, so.
All right. What you got, man?
Look, I tell you what. You know, all we want as a fan base for the Houdat Nation is just to give us a little something that we can hope and get our
Well, hope for the future. Hope. You want hope. Listen, you have to have hope. Now, if you can have patience along with hope, that's a virtue that everyone should embrace.
But everyone has that.
But, you know, everybody. Okay, Reed, I'm going to take this right quick. You can call back after because I want you to make your point. Let me tell you right now between the Saints and the Pelicans. That's an NFL and NBA franchise. It's not minor leagues. You might say, maybe they're not playing like I want them to play. But don't you want them to stay in town? Because then a big town becomes a bigger town, if not a small city like we are. I don't want the NBA going anywhere, the NFL. So we got to support the Pelicans and the Saints. Bottom line.
Thank you, Reed. Appreciate the call, bud. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I want to tell everybody at 5:20, we'll have on with us LSU head baseball coach Jay Johnson. Bob, we'll take a second away from text line. Man, Tom Fitzmaurice passed away yesterday. He was a unique guy. You know, he could talk food and drink with anyone. And he was always kind of wanting to know certain things about the difference between how things were cooked maybe on the bayou and in the big city. But you got a story about him also, yeah. About him. And he wasn't the biggest sports fan in the world.
No, he would just come to me out of the blue. You know, we're passing each other in the hall, and he'd say, hey, Bear, what's up? He goes, I don't even like football. I go, oh, well, I don't know. I make a living doing that, so I always liked it. And, you know, I don't know if he was trying to, he was serious, you know, saying like, I'm not really a sports guy. And I said, well, sometimes I'm not a sports guy. And then, you know, we end up talking about not food or sports, but about travel and international travel. Are we talking about, France? Are we talking about Italy? But more about traveling, more than food or sports. And he was totally devoted to his craft. And I don't know if he was putting on, but the way he would lead on is like, I don't know anything about sports and I don't care. It was the craziest thing.
But, man, he was a unique personality, a great guy, and, man, he'd be sorely missed, not only just for what he did on radio, also he was on television, had that weekly television show that he did, and so our thoughts and prayers go out to Miss Marianne, his family, and so many friends that, you know, talk so well about him. And if you ever met him, he was unique. That was that's only one Tom Fitzmaurice.
You know that Nish. Think all the years he did radio talking about food, the food show. I remember a number of times when we'd be doing, you know, Mike, it might be a pregame for LSU, whatever, and it would be on Saturday, on the Big Stick, 870 WWL. It'd be like, oh, the food show. Then we go in now. And we're talking like LSU football on the pregame on Saturday. I remember that a number of times.
And, man, if he'd went to the LSU pregame, he'd really had a good time there. Charlie's got a couple of bites in talking about Derek Carr. Now, again, today, when you listen to Kellen Moore, he gave you a non-answer answer about Derek Carr. But, Charlie, you're going to play it for us.
Yeah, Derek's a tremendous quarterback in this league. I've had so much respect for him, the journey that he's been on. He's a starter in this league. He's a premier player in this league. He's had a great journey, obviously going from Fresno State to the Raiders and now here. Really excited to team up with him and go through this process. And so just like any player on this roster, I just got here a few days ago, and I'm excited to go through this journey with all of them. I view it as Derek Carr is a tremendous starting quarterback in this league. We're fortunate to have him, and we're excited to go through this process, you know, as we build this roster together. Again, I'm meeting these guys for the first time the last few days. Really excited to meet more of them, and this will be a lot of fun.
So that was Kellen Moore on Derek Carr, and nothing specific. And so he leaves the table wide open for what could happen. And we all know Derek Carr would be the bridge guy if he's kept for a year into 2026. But that decision has not been made yet.
Right, has not been made. And Mickey Loomis did say this in the coaching process when they were looking who's going to be the future head coach, that obviously, what you say in public, what happens behind the scenes could be...
It's four different things.
Yeah. So when he said, no, the new head coach, whatever he wants. Even like Mickey said, where are we going to have training camp? Who's going to be the future quarterback? But that's when the salary cap does come into play. Whether, you know, when you release a player or when you're keeping him and how much money you have to eat. Now, it has happened before. Just recently, look at Sean Payton. Mike, what did he eat? $40 million, I want to say,
look
with Russell Wilson.
Look what the
Wilson.
Giants did with Daniel
with
Jones.
With Daniel Jones in the middle of the season. So, yeah, that's why, it's interesting to see what's going to happen with Derek Carr as the future. But I know Kellen Moore would get the better version out of Derek Carr if he was to coach him, because I think whoever he's coaching, he'll make – Dak Prescott talks about how Kellen Moore helped develop him as a quarterback. Wherever he's been, I'm sure now they had off year – But Justin Herbert, I'm sure, has Kellen Moore stories. And obviously Jalen Hurts being MVP in the Super Bowl, how much Kellen Moore has helped him. So whoever's the quarterback, they will be better under his tutelage going forward. Now you got to win games, whatever that might be. But right now, Mike, I don't know, flip a coin whether Derek Carr is the quarterback or not. I know they're not Kellen Moore go way back to college when he was at Boise State, and they played against each other. Derek Carr was at Fresno State. Boise State was way better. They crushed him.
Oh, yeah, they had waxed that game.
Yeah. And I think the jury's still out on that decision with Derek Carr being the future quarterback.
Let's go back to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Tyler and Hammond. Tyler, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right, Tyler.
Hey, I wanted to give my thoughts on how I think the Saints should proceed and kind of get y'all's thoughts on what y'all think.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I think all in all, I think we should try to trade Carr. If we can't, then I say cut him, save that $30 million in cap space. And then you go pick up Jameis Winston in free agency. As a bridge quarterback, y'all all saw how great he was in the city during Super Bowl coverage. I think he's got immaculate vibes for the locker room. He's a great piece in the locker room. May not translate on the field, but like I said, he's more of a bridge player. And I think we kind of try to go after Nussmeier or Arch Manning in the draft next year potentially. If they want to take a chance on Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, I wouldn't be opposed to that, but I would not use a first round pick on that. I'd wait for a second or third round.
Well, if you don't pick Jackson in round one, you're not going to get him in a second round. So you might trade back, but Jackson Dart, he's not getting out of round one. That too many teams looking for quarterbacks today. And so we're not sure how it's going to kind of fall with Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. But number three on the list is Jackson Dart. And I think some team, it might be at 22 or 27, whatever, or some team trading up. You know why it's important to get him? You got an extra year. You get that fifth year on that contract.
I don't know. With Jameis Winston, I mean, what does it have to do? Because he was a reporter and he was outstanding on the social scene during the Super Bowl week. What does that have to do him playing? I mean, I don't know, Tyler, what you think? Jameis Winston's active. He wants to be a part. No, he's very colorful, which is a good thing, depending on your craft, what you're doing. But why at the end of the season, why didn't Cleveland keep sticking with him? No, that would not be a bridge guy. Derek Carr would be a better bridge guy than Jameis Winston for the future quarterback.
When we come back here on Sports Talk, we'll have on with us the head baseball coach of the LSU Fighting Tigers, Jay Johnson, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike to tell you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line, the skipper of the LSU Fighting Tigers, Jay Johnson. Jay, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, Coach.
Good to talk to you guys. How you been?
Been great. Coach, I got to tell you this story. Last week, we doing all this Super Bowl coverage, you know, in the convention center, and man, you're getting grabbed to do interviews here and there, if it's Las Vegas or New York or Chicago, you name it, to pull me aside. And one of them asked me a really good question. I had to give him an honest answer. Said, what's the worst part about doing sports talk? And I said, man, from May 15th to the end of June, so you got to do me a solid, Coach. You got to keep winning and get this team to Omaha. You got to get me through that rough stretch, Coach. Do that for me. I would really appreciate it.
Hey, you know what? I was already plenty motivated to do all that, but you just gave me another reason. So let's go. Let's help you out.
I appreciate it, Coach. Coach, yesterday you talked about what would you run, basically your weekend lineup. And for people who kind of short memory about Chase Shores, he really looked great. Now he's been out a year and a half. Right-handed pitcher for you, and you announced that he would be your Sunday pitcher. But I think everybody wants to know about his progress, injury-wise, how that's gone. But, man, Chase Shores is somebody – he's a big man up on that mound. And, boy, if he can stay healthy, you got something there. And early on, will this be sort of a pitch count or inning count with him?
Well, we actually do that with all of our pitchers early in the year. You won't see anybody – start an inning after 90 in the non-conference. And, you know, happy to report, you know, Chase was up to 75 last weekend. We pushed him to that.
Okay.
He's at a full ramp. The good thing about his surgery timing is he obviously, unfortunately, missed all of last year, but we are not rushing him back. Like, when you talk about pitching in a competitive game, he'll be at just about 21, 22 months since the last time he pitched. And what I've learned about Tommy John, the longer you have, the better it goes, but he's built his pitch count, so he's actually about right where he should be, you know, as if the injury never happened, which is outstanding.
Now, Coach Johnson, how do you view, look, name, image, and likeness, transfer portal, and all that comes about, and the expectations from a fan base or, you know, a top-notch university like LSU and the expectations that come with that? Obviously, you look at LSU football fans. Well, damn, we got to be in the playoffs. Is that the Final Four? Can we be in that Final 12? Do you feel like, okay, SEC, we want to be an SEC champion, the SEC tournament, and all that stuff. But is it like the people come on the street and tell you, Coach Johnson, are we going back to Omaha or not?
Well, what's great about that is as much as those people want to be in Omaha, they want it about 1% of the way I want it. So,
okay.
and I hope that's reflected in the way we work, the way we run the program. Certainly proud of the fact that, you know, we won a national championship in our second year. That's never been done in the history of college baseball. So I'm proud of that. We've played in 6 championship games in the 3 years that I've been here, and super excited about where we're headed. And I know the deal here, and it's why I came here. You know, you want as many bites at the apple as you possibly can, and my whole life is built around Omaha, so you might as well be at a place that wants to be there and tries to help you get there as much as the people and the fans at LSU do.
Coach, one of the guys that hot buzz, I know we get a lot of calls and texts about it, Daniel Dickinson, who was at Utah Valley, coming here now, looks as though he'll be your second baseman. But give everybody a little bit of a profile on Daniel. And he seems to be somebody, man, the buzz is on him.
Yeah, really good player. Can affect the game in a lot of ways. You know, I'll go a different reference, like a football reference. Like, and I think about, like, Darren Sproles, you know, who was such a great player, you know, in the NFL
right.
for the Saints. And, you know, he could impact the game a lot of ways. He could run the ball. He could catch it out of the backfield. He could return kicks. Like, that's kind of Danny on the baseball field. He's got hitting ability. He's got a little bit of power. He's a really good base runner, good speed, good range on defense. So he just impacts the game in a lot of ways. And, you know, the best part about him is he plays really hard. So he's an easy player to get behind, and he'll make a big impact on our team this year.
Now, Coach Johnson, I guess it's a good problem to have is that when you have a lot of really good players, but they can't all play. I mean, it's a constant evaluation. And just talk about that process. It's like if you're hot, you're hot, and maybe against a particular team who might be in the lineup. But I guess that'd be better to have too many good players than not enough. When you talk about you only could have nine on the field and the different roles they might have. But just talk about that, and I know you want to have that depth because you're going to have injuries and all that. But I know you take the approach that, hey, you got to produce, and if you're the best, you're going to be out there.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the good part about LSU is the players know they're at LSU, meaning they know we're going to have other good players, and the expectation is to play well often. And so that's just kind of part of the thing that comes along with it. And, you know, you want to build a roster that has some versatility because, you know, you see left-handed pitchers, you see right-handed pitchers. You know, winning in the SEC, you need power, but to win in Omaha, you really need speed and defense. And so I think we have a very well-balanced team, and we'll find time for guys. And the goal is to win as many games as we can while we're kind of figuring out that recipe or what that best team ultimately looks like. And I'm excited to do that. Yeah, I will say that, you know, one of our things for this year is really being together and committed to the team. And, you know, we haven't had any adversity yet. You know, I haven't written out that first lineup or somebody hasn't not played for three games, but I do like the vibe of the togetherness of the team right now.
Coach, a guy that basically grew up in Baton Rouge, but got to pitch out on the Bayou, and I still live there. So I got to see him play for a couple years at Nichols, Jacob Myers, and then transfers to LSU. What is kind of his role here on the pitching staff for the Tigers? You talk about a guy that he wasn't even a zero recruit. I mean, he got recommended to Nichols State by somebody who thought, man, look at him. He's got some potential there. Did a great job as a freshman. Followed that up with a really strong year last year. But your thoughts on Jacob Myers and kind of where he fits in your rotation at LSU?
Yeah, I'm excited about Jacob. He's tremendously talented. He's kind of one of those X-factor guys where when it clicks for him, we go to a different level as a team. He's going to pitch out of the bullpen. He's going to face some of the other team's best hitters. And if he's on, it's really hard to hit him hard and square up. So we're excited about Jacob. He's a great kid. He's got a great family. Very thankful that he chose LSU, and I can't wait to get him in the ballgame.
What are the kind of changes, and all skippers go through this, what's best for the team, and you move Steven Milam to the shortstop position. Michael Braswell, now who was playing short, now is at third. But the decision to move Milam to the shortstop position, was that something he thought of or you thought of, or you just say, hey, look, this best for the team and best for him?
You know, we have a really good infield this year. When you talk about Steven, he played pretty much every day last year and was a freshman All-American. Michael's played 3 years in the SEC. Jared Jones back at first base, a lot of experience. And then adding Danny, who's, you know, Team USA infielder. I think we just needed to figure out what was going to be best for the totality of the team. And then really what happened was we were about to make the move in the middle of the fall, and he got sick, and he actually missed. Steven got sick and missed like 3 weeks. So I actually feel like we would have had this resolved in the fall, but because he got sick, we didn't really have it resolved. So a lot of people made a big deal about it, but he's a really good infielder. He's got good feet. He can come get the ball. He's got good lateral quickness right and left, which, you know, allows him to have good range, make a lot of plays. He always talks in the field. You want your shortstop to be a talker out there and keep everybody engaged. So I'm really excited to have him there.
Coach Jared Jones, we had Scott Sanders on a few times, and he was like, Mike, what I'm seeing with him is his development as a hitter. He sort of reminded me a little bit of a guy, man, growing up, I watched him play, Dave Kingman. It was either a strikeout or a home run. There was nothing in between with it with Kingman. But he became a much better hitter as the season went along. And I know one thing, if you're in a fight, you want him on your side because, man, the way he's pieced together, his development in the fall and also into the spring as an all-around player, because you could tell that guy's got a lot of talent, and he could hit a baseball.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think the exciting part is the best is yet to come. This is a guy that's hit 42 homers in his first 2 years, done a lot of great things. We got lucky in getting him through the draft because he was draft eligible last year. And he's really improved here in this last year. And I'm glad to hear somebody has recognized that. He's in a great spot to start this year. And what I like is I think we got a little more help for him in the lineup. Obviously, we lost a great player in Tommy White. But I think the totality of the 1-9 this year is much better. And that's going to give Jared a lot of opportunities, which is great.
Coach, there's always, when you bring guys in, if it's transfer or freshman, you expect that they're going to be pretty good players. But has there been one guy, or maybe two guys, that have stuck out to you and say, wait, he's a lot better than maybe even we thought he would be when we recruited him? Has there been that type player or players on the roster, transfer portal guy, or maybe even from the freshman ranks, that has kind of outplayed even expectations?
Yeah, good. I appreciate that question. I think there's several. I'll go a couple different directions. Chris Stanfield, who we're very familiar with, he played at Auburn in the last 2 years. I thought he was a really talented player. You know, as a freshman, had 2 hits off Paul Skeens. And I was thinking at that time, like, man, we got to deal with this guy for the next couple years, which didn't fire me up too much. But he decided to go in the transfer portal, and he didn't really have a great season last year at Auburn for, you know, whatever reason. But he's a great athlete, electric athlete, been open to coachings, made some really good improvements offensively, much like Michael Braswell did last year. So I'm really excited about Chris. You know, one of our best freshman recruits, Derek Curiel. I mean, I knew he was a good player. I've been recruiting the kid since he was in seventh grade, and I was still at Arizona at the time. So it's not a surprise that he's good, but maybe a little bit of a surprise that maturity-wise he's as far along as he is. And so kind of excited about those two guys on the position player side. A couple pitchers that come to mind, Connor Benj, transfer from Dallas Baptist, right-hander that I think we're going to use a lot. And then another big 6'9 right-hander, Maverick Rizzi from Massachusetts, freshman. He's going to be getting the ball early and often, you know, late in the game, and super excited about him.
6'9", that's a big unit, part two, right? 6'9".
Yeah, like I could put myself on my shoulders like 3 times that I wouldn't be as tall as him.
You know what, Coach Johnson, talking about the pitching staff, obviously you want great pitches. I don't care if they're right or left-handed, but what is the breakdown and how do you view the staff, whether you're looking at starters, middle relievers, or closers? How does that come about, right or left-handers?
Well, we had a lot of work to do. We broke an SEC record last year for number of pitchers drafted. We led the country in strikeouts, and so we have a lot of turnover. So there's going to be a lot of new. Now, there's plenty of talent, but there's a little bit of new, you know. I think we have 5 left-handers on the staff. Not quite sure exactly the number of right-handers, but we kind of grouped them into guys that can extend for multiple innings, you know, 3 to 5 innings versus guys that are good for what I call one shot seal, so to speak. Like, you'll see a lot of guys roll out and give us a great inning, and then we'll hand it over to the next guy. But our pitching coach, Nate Yeske, has done a really good job and lining those guys up and giving them a good identity that they're pitching off of. And there's some tremendous young talent in there as well. So really excited about our pitching for this year and moving forward.
Coach Johnson, before we let you run, I'm going to hop in here and just ask you about the SEC again this year, because our friends over at D1 released their preseason top 25 and 6 of the top 10 from the SEC. It feels like every single year we're talking about this. But your early kind of gauge on, you know, your conference opponents, obviously we still have a few weeks to go until conference play and all that, but the SEC is going to be loaded once again this year. It's going to be another gauntlet.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember this. I was just like a little kid when they used to have that WWF wrestling matches. They think they called it like the Royal Rumble, where those guys would all just go in there and beat up on everybody. That's the best thing I can come up with for league play. It's gonna be tough. A lot of good teams. 14 teams that probably could go to Omaha, if you want my opinion.
Coach, that's a lot. And you know, we kind of brag about SEC football wise, but there is nothing comparing that to SEC baseball. because of the number of teams. It's unbelievable. And listen, we all love SEC football, but SEC baseball, best coaches, best players. Okay, kind of I grew up watching most of those guys. They stayed out west. It was more of a West Coast deal. Every once in a while, you know, it kind of snuck into Texas a little bit. But it was much more on the West Coast. Today, it is SEC dominated.
No doubt about it. It's really hard to explain to people from the outside. And, you know, I have as good a perspective as anybody, you know, coming from being a West Coast guy. And times have changed, you know, because the investments the schools have made, the best players from out there are coming out here. And let me look at our deal, you know, with Paul Skeens, you know, with Gage Jump, with Thatcher Hurd, you know, this year, Anthony Ianson, you know, our Saturday starter, Derek Curiel, I mentioned, a freshman from West Covina, California, Riley Cooper, you know, we've got a pipeline here, but so does everybody else. You know, Vanderbilt's obviously had great players from California. Blake Burke, Tennessee's first baseman last year, was from California. Like, the best players are coming and playing in our league, and that's just the way that it is. I mean, you know, I'll use last year as an example. Like, you know, we finished seventh in the league, and we went to a regional at North Carolina, who, in my opinion, was the best team outside of the SEC last year, and we're striking out away from beating them on their home field and, you know, being back here for a home super regional. And that was the best team outside of our league last year. So the league's just on a different planet than everybody else.
Well, Coach Johnson, let me tell you how the fan base, how we view the LSU Fighting Tigers. You know, everything's big in Texas, but LSU baseball is big in Louisiana. You know, we got the Saints NFL, we got the Pelicans, that's an NBA team. You can't get any higher than that. And then you can look in Texas, the Aggies, and you got the Longhorns. Well, I don't know. They got the Houston Astros. I think I've heard of them, Major League Baseball. And you got the Texas Rangers and all that. Well, fans have said, you know what? How we treat LSU baseball, that's our major league team. And how we look in the spring and the summer, and we said, no, Louisiana, we don't have, New Orleans doesn't have a major league baseball team. I said, yeah, we do, the LSU Fighting Tigers. That's our major league team.
That's right. And tell everybody, keep telling everybody that. That's what we talk about here. This is the major league team for our state. And I'll tell you what, like, you know, I kind of came here on a leap of faith, but, you know, 3.5 years into it, getting ready for year four, it's exceeded my expectations. And I'm very grateful for the support. I'm all Louisiana all the time now, and just very thankful for how the state gets behind us.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us. I got a neighbor of mine, he tells me this all the time. There's two seasons in this world. It's not winter, summer, spring, fall. There's LSU football season, LSU baseball season. Nothing else. That's it for him.
That's right. That's right. Let's keep it that way.
Thank you, Coach.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
All righty. That was the skipper of the LSU baseball team, Jay Johnson. We come back, we'll have on our triple option feature, myself along with Bobby J and also Steve Geller, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Steve Geller, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm going to throw it to Charlie. This is a cut from the press conference with Kellen Moore, talking about what he's going to emphasize in trying to rebuild the Saints.
Yeah, that identity is still the same. We want to be a smart team. We got to play really smart situational football. We want to be able to play fast guys when they're fast and free and confident. They play at a really high level. And then obviously we want to be a really physical football team. We recognize I'm a quarterback guy and I love the quarterback position, but this game has so much impact on the offense and defensive lines. And that's really truly how you control games and build this thing the right way.
Bingo. That's what I want to hear. Offensive and defensive line. Being a former quarterback, he knows one thing. If I don't get protection up front and I can't run the ball, I'm not going nowhere. And those defensive linemen, they looking at putting me on my butt. So I wanted to hear that from Kellen Moore. Now let's get some players. Bob?
Well, how about you think this will occur? It would stand to reason. You know, who you're familiar with, who's on your staff. You know, who's your defensive coordinator or different positions. And it's all about relationships. Talking about, this is something that the wife would be all for. How about Garrett Nussmeier, the quarterback at LSU? You don't think he wants his dad, maybe Doug, back home? I mean, look at this. Here's the quarterback coach, Doug Nussmeier, and he's played with the Saints. in the 90s. Then he's the father, obviously, of Garrett Nussmeier. Wouldn't that be a good deal? I know the wife would be all for that. I think they got a son still playing with Mike. Is in Dallas.
Yep.
That's proximity to New Orleans and Baton Rouge and all that. So I could see when, you know, when you're putting your staff together, that Doug Nussmeier would be part of a quarterback coach. I'll still call the plays. But you could be the offensive coordinator. You know, like Doug Marrone. Remember one time when he was the offensive coordinator, but Sean Payton still calling the plays? You know, maybe make a few extra bucks. But that would be interesting to see if Doug Nussmeier ends up coming here. Brandon Staley, I would expect him to be the defensive coordinator. You know, Vic Fangio, coaching tree. Everyone always talks about, okay, what is their background? What coaching tree you part of? How many times do we hear Sean Payton gave examples. Who did he always talk about? Bill Parcells. And that was year after year. Always giving examples. So, you know, everybody has to have a mentor. Like, you've heard me give examples. Like Joe Ferguson. You know, I'm in college at Northwest Louisiana. We were running the Buffalo Bills offense. I was like Joe Ferguson. We had Joe Delaney. He was like O.J. Simpson. So, you know, you go and who's your mentor?
And for you, also June Jones.
Yeah, June Jones. But I was already a pro then.
Yeah.
He helped me to get into Pro Bowl and all that. But I mean, as far as when you lay in that groundwork, three-step, five-step drop, reading cover two, cover three, all the covers, everyone has a mentor. And so that'll be interesting to see. Kellen Moore, who he uses as an example? Well,
his dad.
Yeah, and who I learned this from.
His dad.
Or it might be Woodstock, where you were at, and something that you could come about. But that's interesting to see. And I'm going to leave you with this. I think he's a great coach. Will he work out as a head coach? We got
to
wait.
To be determined.
Yeah. That is to be determined. You know why it's not a slam dunk? Don't we view Coach Spags and what he's done with the Chiefs? Oh, he's a Pro Football Hall of Fame defensive coordinator. You know what he was with the Rams? He was worse than Dennis Allen. Do you know he was 10-38 and a big enough sample size? And we all know he was a disaster as a D-coordinator. You never know, right place, right time, D-coordinator with the Saints.
Historically bad.
Historically, gave it the most yards ever. But look, he won a Super Bowl with the Giants, and then look at the Super Bowls he won with the Chiefs.
Right.
But as a head coach, he was 10-38.
Oof.
10-38. So, no, we got to wait and see what's going to happen. And he had 3 years to work out, so I don't think that'll be the case with Kellen Moore. But all I know is, again, the reason why I say this, I know he knows football and he's a football coach. Now, head coach, we got to wait and see.
Guys, I'm sticking along. It's Kellen Moore Day, so I'm going to stick along those lines. The first move he's made under, you know, rule at New Orleans head coach, the bringing back of running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire, signed to a one-year deal by the Saints. Still a lot, you would think, left in that gas tank for this young guy. Just 25 years old, I think, come April, he turns 26. And just curious if he can get by some of the mental aspects of the game to get back on the field in full force, because you know the talent's there.
I do know one thing. He can catch the ball coming out of the backfield. He is a good runner. He can cut the edge, runs hard inside, gives you what he's got. But why they really like him, he can pass protect.
Hello.
He can pass protect. Ask Joe Burrow what he remembers about Clyde.
That was actually Joe Burrow. Then, you know, I guess he might have had options and maybe he chose the Saints. But did Joe Burrow go to bat for him to bring him to the Cincinnati? You know what I mean? Now, Cincinnati, their organization, they cheap. You know, I don't know what happened there. But I would think Joe Burrow would have went to bat for him, and if he chose the Saints, good for the Saints.
Man, I know one thing. Joe Burrow's going to bat for everybody now. T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Trey Hendrickson, everybody. He wants them back.
Rumblings are the Patriots in hot pursuit of T. Higgins.
Well, I think T is one hell of a player.
We'll be back with more sports talk right after this break
here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in our number two of sports talk, more from the Kellen Moore press conference right after our 6 o'clock break right here on the Big 870 WWL.
Welcome on into the second half of Sports Talk this Thursday, February 13th edition, Kellen Moore Day. We shall declare it right before Valentine's Day tomorrow. The Pelicans in action tonight. That's coming up 6:30 right here on WWL AM and FM this evening. The Pelicans taking on the Sacramento Kings. And then taking a little siesta for the All-Star break. We're going to get into some of our audio from today's Kellen Moore press conference over at the Saints facility. Earlier today, you heard all on WWL Radio. First up, we'll tee off with the big lady, Ms. Benson, the owner of the New Orleans Saints, hearing what she had to say about Kellen Moore becoming the 19th head coach of her franchise.
I am so pleased to welcome Kellen, his wife Julie, and their children, Kyla, Haley, Maddie, and Beckham, to New Orleans. When we began this coaching search, we were all aligned on what we were looking for in an ideal candidate to lead this team. We wanted a coach that was exceptionally bright, creative, and most importantly, a tremendous leader. I believe that is exactly what we have in Ellen Moore. He has been a winner at every stage of his career, both as a player and a coach. As we saw this past weekend in our very own Caesars Superdome, Kellen led a creative and innovative offense in winning Super Bowl 59. Congratulations to you and to the entire Philadelphia Eagles organization. Thank you. As we stand here today, I cannot help but reflect on the past success and stability of our organization. While we are not accustomed to having press conferences welcoming a new head coach, I do offer to you, Kellen, and our entire fan base that it is my job to provide any resource our players, coaches, and front office need to compete for a championship. Kellen, you have my full commitment to doing whatever it takes to deliver another Lombardi Trophy back to our city. Our fan base is the most passionate and loyal in the NFL, and they are deserving of our full commitment. We have a stadium that offers our fans the best amenities in the NFL, so today marks a new day and a positive look to the future. I am excited to be part of this with you, Kellen. And in conclusion, I would like to commend Mickey Loomis for conducting such a thorough, thoughtful, and patient search. Mickey and his team interviewed a number of exceptional candidates that yield an excellent result, and I greatly appreciate the clear vision he had for this coaching search.
Ms. Gail Benson talking about Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis right there. He was next up to the mic, so here's what Mickey had to say about the hiring of Kellen Moore.
I'm very excited to introduce the next head coach of the New Orleans Saints. As mentioned, this was a comprehensive process. It took longer than we anticipated, simply because the Eagles kept winning. And that delayed our opportunity to make an informed decision. We appreciate their patience and cooperation with us during the process, and we certainly congratulate the Philadelphia Eagles and Kellen on winning the Super Bowl right here in New Orleans. We had a number of excellent candidates for this job, and I believe every one of the finalists were qualified and will be head coaches in the future. And I want to thank them for their interest, their efforts, and their patience throughout this process. Ultimately, we determined that Kellen's the best fit for our team, and his experience and success as a player, as a position coach, and as an offensive coordinator have prepared him well for this opportunity. And that was really evident in our interviews and our discussions. We've been meeting for the last 24 hours, and man, it's very easy to get excited about the direction that he and his staff are going to take our team.
For more of that direction, we're going to go to the man himself, 36-year-old Kellen Moore, talking about getting his first head coaching gig in the NFL.
I want to start by saying how thankful and blessed I am to have the best football family I can possibly have. For my wife, Julie, she's the rock star. I couldn't do this without her. She's made this entire football journey. She's been on it with me all the way from a player to a coach, and I couldn't ask for to be more fortunate to have her. For Kyler, Hallie, we got Maddie and Beckham as well. They make our life a whole lot of fun. We got four little ones, and they enjoy this ride as well. I can't begin to express how thankful I am for the opportunity to be the head coach of the Saints, but really that dream started a long time ago, being a kid from Prosser, Washington, and my dad was our head football coach, and so that was my foundation as a coach. I always wanted to be a football coach. My goal was to be a Prosser Mustang first and foremost, and you know, I appreciate everything that he did for me. I think most importantly, the foundation of myself as a football coach really comes from him. And my mom is an elementary school principal. This moment, as much as I appreciate it for ourselves, this is their moment as well. And so I love them very much. I want to thank every coach, teammate, player, and mentor that helped me along this way. From Boise State, Detroit Lions, Dallas Cowboys, Los Angeles Chargers, and especially the Philadelphia Eagles. Each and every one of these people shaped me, allowed me to become the coach that I am. Specifically in Philadelphia, Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, and Nick Sirianni, thank you for the opportunity to win a world championship with you. Finally, as we went through this process, through this interview process, I feel very fortunate that I got to go and interview with multiple teams. It became very clear what made this organization really special, and it was the leadership. Each interaction grew more and more confident in the opportunity that this presented. The opportunity to team up with Mickey Loomis, one of the winningest general managers in the National Football League history, was a perfect opportunity for myself. The other leadership within his group, Kai Harley, Jeff Ireland, Michael Parent, and Randy Mueller, can't wait to get started. Really, really excited about this opportunity. I'm so thankful for it. We have an exciting, exciting future for New Orleans football. Our number one goal is to create an environment that allows every player, coach, and staff member to be their best. And this is the greatest team sport in the world for a reason, because it takes everyone. It takes everyone. It's truly an honor and opportunity that not many have. We know that when we do this, when we build a brand of football that we're all appreciative of, it's going to be a smart, a fast, and a physical football team. And I know that our style, that Who Dat Nation will be proud of and they will rally behind. We have a tremendous advantage in the NFL because of the phenomenal fan base that we have, because of the home field advantage that the Caesars Superdome provides. And I can attest to the daunting challenge that when you come into the Superdome as the visiting team, the challenges that you're going to have. Can't wait to get started. Who Dat Nation, appreciate you. Can't wait to go.
Can't wait to go. Kellen Moore getting in action very soon for the Black and Gold. First, though, he's got one more little bit of business to take care of in Philadelphia tomorrow. Championship parade and Valentine's Day in Philly, I'm sure, is going to be out of control. Can't wait to see the action unfold on television. We'll get more on that tomorrow on Sports Talk. Jeff Nowak and myself will be breaking all things down more from this Kellen Moore press conference. And, of course, we'll see if he has anything to say at the Philadelphia Eagles Championship Parade. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be right back with more of Sports Talk as we get ready for Pelicans basketball right after this on WWL.
Tremendous investment on the front line. You know, again, as we talked about offense and defensive lines, they're going to have such an impact on games. They're the pulse of your football team. We got playmakers in multiple skill positions. Very, very excited about that. On the back end, on defense as well. Invested in those guys to have those pieces as well. And so I think we're in an excellent place to build moving forward.
At Saints head coach Kellen Moore speaking today at the press conference, talking about some of the strengths of this Black and Gold team that was attractive to him to take the job here. And you heard him mentioning the offensive line, which will be a huge deal. He mentioned the investment. You know, the Saints have poured in a bunch of draft picks, top draft picks on that O-line. Eric McCoy leading the way there at center. Taliese Fuaga this past year had a good rookie season. We saw some developments from a guy in Trevor Penning. Cesar Ruiz has been steadily getting better, needs to improve his game there. But overall, there's a good base there for Kellen to work with going forward. The defensive line, I don't know. That's another story for me, Charlie.
Yeah, just look at the Eagles. Moore knows the importance of both of the trenches. So expect them to invest a little bit more, including in this upcoming draft.
More for more. We're going to take a break, getting into Pelicans basketball taking on the Sacramento Kings. It'll be their last game until they have the Dallas Mavericks 1 week from tomorrow after the All-Star break. So stay tuned. Pelicans versus Sacramento Kings coming up right here on WWL. Have a good night, folks.